Welcome to the ACOFP podcast channel. Today we have Dr. Stacy Benson, who will be sharing her experience with direct primary care, or DPC, which is a relatively new innovative payment model. Dr. Benson is a board-certified family physician and owner of Paradigm Family Health, a direct primary care practice in Dallas, Texas. She attended medical school at the Arizona College of Osteopathic Medicine and completed her family medicine residency at Methodist Charlton Hospital in Dallas. Since medical school, she has been involved with health policy from a local to a national level. She proudly represents her fellow physicians serving on the National Physicians Council for Healthcare Policy and is active in the DPC Coalition, where she recently met with CMS and other federal representatives to discuss direct primary care as an innovative payment model. She currently serves on the Board of Governors for the Texas Society of ACOFP and is active on various committees, including the newly formed ACOFP DPC Special Interest Group, and for the second year serves on the DPC Summit Planning Committee. She has spoken on DPC in a variety of settings, including to local businesses, state and national physician organizations, medical schools, and residency programs. Most importantly, Dr. Benson is a mother to two girls, Braylyn and Colette, and is an active volunteer in her community with her husband. So welcome, Dr. Benson.
Thanks so much for having me.
To get started, maybe we can talk about what is direct primary care and how DPC is different from a practice that takes insurance?
Sure. I think that's an excellent first question to have. And to also give a primer, I just got back from attending a direct primary care related conference, and this was a question that was asked around the table of DPC docs. So while the definition isn't solid amongst all DPC doctors, we have been fighting for legislation across the country, federal and state legislation, and within this legislation to protect the direct primary care practice as a medical service and not as an insurance company, we have established a definition. So there's three parts to direct primary care practice. One, it must charge a periodic fee. That can be annual, biannual, monthly, whatever you want, but a periodic fee. Two, the practice cannot bill any third parties on a fee-for-service basis. And three, any per-visit charge must be less than the monthly equivalent of the periodic fee. With that being said, as those components, please note that price was never addressed within any of those three parts of the definition. This does not say you cannot have a hybrid practice, which would be a practice that still bills insurance on a fee-for-service basis. It also doesn't say that you can't have any ancillary fees. And it does not mean that any non-DPC relationship is illegal. This is just how we are defining direct primary care to make it a protected class of medical services from the insurance commissioners.
Okay. I've heard about concierge medicine, and it sounds similar to DPC. Could you compare and contrast those?
I'd love to. So DPC and concierge are very similar yet very different. Same thing is that concierge medicine doesn't have it's a definition within the community. And a lot of concierge practices are probably actually a DPC practice. So concierge medicine has been around for a long time, so it definitely has more name recognition. The average concierge doctor, though, will still bill insurance on a fee-for-service basis versus a direct primary care doctor does not. So with that being said, you've probably met someone in your life that is calls himself a concierge doctor, but they do not bill insurance on for anything. So those concierge physicians would technically be a direct primary care doctor. That would be the biggest difference, though, is your insurance billing.
Okay, great. You mentioned a hybrid practice. Could you say a little bit more about what that is?
So a hybrid practice in general is going to be a practice that's really two practices within one. So it's a practice where they have a group of patients that are following the direct primary care model, so that membership medicine model, and then a group of patients that are still being seen on a fee-for-service basis, typically still billing insurance or other third parties on a fee-for-service basis. So it's really two different companies that are operating within one.
What is the percentage of practices that are currently using direct primary care as their model?
So like I said, because of the definition, some practices will still call themselves concierge. So let's say instead, what are the percentage of practices that are practicing in membership-based medicine, just for the point of this question? Okay. Of the self-reported practices, about 3% of AFP's membership last year has reported themselves as membership-based medicine, which is up from 2% the year before. So this is estimated to potentially over 10,000 practices out there. However, of people that are self-reporting themselves as a direct primary care, specifically direct primary care practice, that number sits as of June 10th. That number is 841 practices, not physicians, but practices amongst 48 states, including D.C.
Okay, and how fast is this growing, this adoption of this model?
Oh, it is definitely, we're starting to see a nice increase in practices from, again, the self-reported practices over the past year and a half to 2 years. I remember when I first started looking into DPC back in 2015, there were less than 400 practices, and now there's closer to 850 practices a year and a half later.
Okay, yeah, that's impressive. Does being a member of a DPC practice count as having an Affordable Care Act compliant plan?
No, it does not. And this is a great question for patients and physicians alike to pay attention to. I'm asked this all the time by patients when they're calling about signing up of how does my quote-unquote plan work? Well, it's a plan in the sense that I'm selling access to my clinic. And to me, the same way I'd be selling access to a gym if I were selling gym memberships. However, I am not a health insurance plan. I am a doctor that's practicing medicine. So by being a member in my direct primary care practice does not mean that you have Affordable Care Act compliant insurance. Because again, I'm not insurance, okay? There are some places that have a wraparound plans that have been developed that pair perfectly with the direct primary care practice. And in fact, the two are sold together on the marketplace. Really one of the main places that you'll find that right now is in the Washington area, where direct primary care started back in the early 2000s. It's because of that clinic back in Key Alliance in Seattle that direct primary care is actually included in the Affordable Care Act with definitions and the ability to pair it with that wraparound plan in order to be ACA compliant. But for the average American out there, those plans just don't exist that can wrap with a DPC model. So in general, the answer is going to be no. Just because you're a member of a direct primary care practice does not mean that you get to check the box that you have an ACA-compliant health plan.
Okay, thanks for that clarification. Can Medicare patients see a DPC doctor?
Medicare patients have the right to see whatever doctor they feel they would like to see. Medicare will only pay for their fee-for-service visits to physicians that have opted into the Medicare service. At this time, for a direct primary care doctor to see a Medicare patient, again, on a membership basis, not a fee-for-service basis, and in order to bill that patient for their services, the physician needs to be opted out of Medicare. There is currently a proposal at CMS for direct primary care to be looked at as an innovative payment model for Medicare patients. I cannot tell you if they will be doing a pilot study. Hopefully we'll know at the end of 2018, early 2019, if they'll be doing a pilot study to see if direct primary care could be an option for a payment model for Medicare patients. But at this time, if a Medicare patient would like to see a DPC doctor, the doctor does have to opt out of Medicare. Another question I get is if I'm a direct primary care doctor that's opted out and my Medicare patient needs to go see somebody or have medications written for or labs done, how does that work? Well, just because you're opted out of Medicare doesn't mean you can't refer the patient to another Medicare provider. It doesn't mean you can't write prescriptions or write for labs. You are only saying you're not going to bill Medicare for your services. So with that being said, you can still use your PCOS number and your NPI, and you can still write prescriptions and order labs for your Medicare patient as you traditionally would. You can also still refer patients over to specialists. If a Medicare patient wants to just pay cash and they don't want to see somebody that's billing Medicare on a fee-for-service basis, they also have that right. It's called a Medicare beneficiary right of refusal. And with all this being said, Medicare law is, in my opinion, a little tricky and is frequently changing. So please discuss with your attorney if you have any questions regarding Medicare and opting out or opting into the system before you make decisions for your practice.
Okay, Can a private insurance patient see a DPC doctor?
A private insurance patient can definitely see a DPC doctor. The direct primary care doctor doesn't have any contracts negotiated with the insurance, so that's not an issue. The patient is just going to pay the cash rate to the direct primary care doctor. The other question, just like we asked with Medicare, is what happens if that insured patient needs to go have labs done, have prescriptions written, or needs to see a specialist? Well, if the insured patient is in a PPO network, you can still refer and write for prescriptions and write for labs, just as you typically would in a fee-for-service world. If they have an HMO, they will often have to go back to their HMO position, the appointed PCP, in order to be referred for a specialist. The DPC doctor, they can call the health insurance company and see if there can be some exceptions made. I know personally I have done this before for a patient versus waiting for 3 months. Getting with their PCP in order to get a referral for an urgent referral that was needed, but that's not the norm. A privately insured patient also has the right to pay cash for any of their services. On top of paying cash, they have the right to request restriction of disclosure. This is part of the high-tech HIPAA omnibus rule that passed in September 2013. What this rule does is it allows for a patient that is privately insured to demand that a healthcare provider not disclose the patient's personal health information to their health plan. But by doing so, they have to sign a request to restrict disclosure, which is a very simple agreement, and the patient pays in cash, 100% full in out-of-pocket at time of service. So there is then also that option for a patient that doctors, regardless of what kind of medicine you're practicing, should be aware of.
Okay, so in talking about insurance, will patients who see you still need to have some type of medical insurance, like catastrophic insurance?
I do recommend that all my patients have coverage. The same way if you were to own a home, I would recommend that you have home insurance, right? You don't know if that, being from Texas, you don't know if that tornado is going to hit your house this year and you're going to have a large bill to pay. Same for health insurance. I personally believe that primary care can be much more affordable with transparent rates that we can pay cash for versus insurance, which should be used on the big things, so getting that new roof. Another example would be GEICO or your car insurance. You don't call GEICO whenever you need to go have gas put in your car to have new tires put on, or even if you get in a small little fender bender that's less than your deductible. Why don't you call GEICO? Do you know, Debbie?
Okay. all right.
Well, so you wouldn't call GEICO because it would raise your premium if you're going to be filing a claim that was less than that deductible anyway, right? The more claims we're filing,
right,
the higher our premium. So why are we doing the same thing with health insurance? If I can get a cholesterol for under $5, why am I going to bill that off to insurance when I can get a very affordable rate for a simple piece of work? So, yes, I do recommend all my patients have coverage for the big things.
So do you actually go and negotiate rates with vendors that are supplying these other services, the testing services?
I do. And a lot of vendors here in my area have actually already established cash rates for practices like mine because there's enough of us that have grown. And we refer within each other. So if a new practice is opening and they call me and say, hey, who do you use to get an x-ray done? I'll refer them straight over to the people that I've used that I've already talked about rates with. I know in smaller towns across America, people are still negotiating these rates on a frequent basis, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I can tell you that even here in my large metropolitan area, if I find better rates between services, I go back to them and say, hey, here's what Company A is offering. Are you going to change your price with Company B?
Okay, so you have to be a very good business person.
You have to be a very good business person. You need to be able to operate a business the same way you would any other medical practice. But you just need to be willing to take that step out there and actually talk to vendors and see what kind of prices that they're willing to work with, right? The same way whenever I go to a local fair and a vendor is selling products out, I might ask them if they're willing to give me a deal if I buy two instead of one of something, right? It's all about that simple little act of negotiation and understanding the value of the dollar.
Right. Okay, great. How long have you been in the DPC practice?
So I opened my practice January 1st, 2017. So from the time we're talking today, it's been a little over a year and a half.
So I'm sure that in that time, you probably have some stories to share about how DPC and how you've impacted patient care. Would you like to share a few of those with us?
I would love to share a few of those. The first story I'll share is a story about my sister, and she is well aware that I share the story every place and is happy to allow me to share it. So my sister, when I first opened up my practice, she's young in her 20s, never sees a doctor, healthy. She thought my business model was crazy. I was going to fail and fall flat on my face. And I understand where she's coming from. She never sees the doctor, so why would she sign up for a monthly membership? Plus, she has health insurance through her employer, so if she needs something, she has that on the back end. Well, my sister, unfortunately, one day developed some abdominal pain, followed by nausea and a fever. It kind of went on and off for a few days, and finally, I told her she really needed to go to the urgent care to go get looked at. So she went to the urgent care, where they did a little bit of an exam. It was an urgent care, so it was a very quick visit. But they sent her off for a CAT scan of her abdomen and pelvis. So that CAT scan, with her deductible, was going to cost her $1,300. So my sister, being the savvy shopper that she is, called me and said, "Did you know CAT scans cost $1,300? And I said, "Actually, no, they do not cost $1,300. That's what the insurance company has done a good job of negotiating on your behalf. Where are you right now?" She told me the clinic that she was at. I said, "Oh, I have cash pricing for that clinic. It's instead going to cost $500. Tell them you want to pay cash. We're taking a gamble that you're not going to need surgery or we're not going to hit your deductible, right? So you can pay cash and it does not go towards your deductible. But tell them you want to pay cash instead." So she chose the cash route for her CT. And the story goes on where then she needed a few specialists to follow up with it. Turns out it was just a hemorrhagic ovarian cyst. She did not need surgery for it. In total, from what she actually paid out of pocket with using her insurance and all those negotiated rates, totaled up to $3,394.55. If she had been a member at my clinic, she would have only paid $1,015.75 for that workup. So she would have saved about $2,400 just for this one problem. And on top of it, really, and a piece of this because she was my own sibling, but on top of it, she would have saved even more if she had been a DPC patient, because she was able to call me and ask questions during the process. She was able to let me help guide her through the healthcare system. Her fee-for-service doctor wasn't the one answering the phone. It was the DPC doctor that was answering the phone. I'm so excited to go to that story. Had a gentleman come in with epigastric pain and going on for a few days. New patient to me, came in, got a very detailed history from him. And on exam, I noticed he had a hepatomegaly. Sent him off for an abdominal sonogram that afternoon, drew some blood work here in the office. Within 2 days, we had diagnosed hepatitis B and cirrhosis and had him into GI within 2 days. All of that was paid for. He was uninsured. He paid cash for everything, his entire workup, including his access to see me. We did everything for under $500 and then got him to GI so we could start getting on treatment. I have story after story like this, whether you're insured or uninsured. The ability to be able to have access to your doctor, to be able to have someone help guide you through the system, to be able to have somebody that's negotiated your rate down for you, to have that transparency in your rate and to know what your dollar is buying you when you're talking about healthcare, it has just provided such a better patient experience for, I would say, probably every single one of my patients. I have not had one patient quit and say, "This has just been horrible." The patients that leave are because they found a DPC doctor closer to their house, and so they don't need to drive 45 miles anymore to come see me, or because they've moved away. It's just been a true blessing to be able to practice medicine this way.
So that's really interesting that you're able to save people so much money and then also offer even better care and more attention. So how do you market this to patients, and what types of patients actually come and join the DPC practice?
So if you've seen one DPC practice, you've seen one DPC practice. Every practice is going to be different in the services that they offer and how they operate, right? If you look at what direct primary care is, it's a payment model. So even though I can tell you that I have longer appointments with my patients, people have my cell phone, they're able to call me, it doesn't mean every DPC practice is going to have that. On the flip side, it also doesn't mean that a fee-for-service doctor in a traditional system isn't going to have 30-minute visits with his patients, right? So mine is that payment model that's in allowing me to practice the way I want to practice. So at my clinic, how I have marketed was I started just joining some area networking groups, small business networking groups, mom networking groups, started volunteering at the school and other health-oriented events in my community, just trying to get the word out for what I did. I really didn't do much marketing in terms of like buying traditional ad space because I saw that there wasn't a lot of turnover from that. This is a new concept for people, and so you can't really explain that in a quarter page ad, right, on what you're doing and why this is different. So instead, I decided to do my marketing just one-on-one with individuals. And so I've grown organically that way and through word of mouth. Other practices, on the other hand, do traditional marketing. A lot of people find success in radio marketing or working with small businesses to bring in their employers as offering DPC as a health benefit to them.
Okay. Actually, that's an interesting point. Have you negotiated any contracts with employers in your area?
I do, yeah.
Okay, great. So the last question is, so there's been a lot of noise level around DPC recently. For example, the Wall Street Journal is calling it one of the four pillars of a new healthcare system. Why do you feel that it's being viewed as a model that will revolutionize healthcare?
I think that this model is getting the traction that it is because it's addressing a lot of the problems that we found in the system, which we've created ourselves. Right. The things we're always looking for when we're talking about a quote-unquote good healthcare system are three things. We want a system that will improve quality, improve the patient experience, and decrease the cost. Right. And lately, we've started talking about improving the work life and the experience for the healthcare clinician and staff. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's because physician burnout has become a major issue. Physician suicide is on the rise. We're losing more than one physician a day to physician suicide right now. So the direct primary care model, it allows for all four of those things. So we have multiple studies that have come out, and a lot of it is self-reported data, but it has been run by third parties, showing that you do have an improvement in the healthcare. Actual quality outcome studies have been done at larger groups that are doing direct primary care. They're also showing a decrease in the cost. For example, Key Lines, the clinic that I referenced earlier that was up in Seattle, was able to show that per 1,000 lives, they were saving the system $679,000 per year. At the same time, they were having an improvement in the overall health outcomes in regard to the number of hospital days, in regard to how many readmissions there were for MIs and CHF. And they were also having an improvement in the patient experience in terms of the ever-so-loved Frescani scores. So we do have these studies that are able to replicate over and over that we are hitting that triple aim. And on top of it, you're having physicians are starting to enjoy practicing medicine again. We aren't part of a system anymore where we're just seeing patients every 5 minutes and it just feels like you're part of the hamster wheel. You're actually getting to practice medicine the way that we all went to medical school to practice medicine. Be able to listen to our patients, talk to our patients, and help our patients. We all got into it for the same reason, and now we're able to actually do it again.
If any of the listeners have questions, how can they get in touch with you?
So on the ACOFP website, the organization has been a supporter of direct primary care, and they have a special interest group that we'd love for you to join and become a member of. It's just log into the ACOFP into your own account, and you should be able to see it from there. Be happy to address any questions. My information is straight on that special interest group.